This is Hoosier Ag Today's Wednesday morning podcast on the 6th of March, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by Eric Pfeiffer and Sabrina Halverson on the news, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin, too. And the Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com, and stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation today. Coming up in the news, a preview of the new Purdue Crop Chat podcast with a discussion on nitrogen management in corn, and EPA makes a commitment to agriculture. Indiana weather looks to be mostly dry and mild, and it was a turnaround Tuesday in the grains and oilseeds yesterday. Arlen Suderman is here with market analysis on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know that when agriculture thrives, we all do. It's the heart and grit of our agricultural communities that keep the crops coming in and the livestock cared for day and night. That's why we build financial solutions around the needs and schedules of our ag clients. If you're looking for a financial partner that has over 135 years experience in understanding and supporting agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's harvest success together. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Do you have an interest in taking your hay or livestock operation to the next level but need some help doing it? Then head out to the Hay and Livestock Expo hosted by Reynolds Farm Equipment, March 15th from 8 to 3 at the Boone County Fairgrounds. Join them for free lunch and hear from speakers, visit over 15 vendor booths, win door prizes, and more. Pre-register for a chance to win a roll of net wrap and hay knife. To register or for more information, visit events.reynoldsfarmequipment.com/hay-livestock-expo-24. Getting a handle on nitrogen management and the EPA putting a new focus on the ag industry. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. Purdue Extension's Dan Cornquinn and soybean Sean Castile are back for another episode of the Purdue Crop Chat Podcast, found now at HoosierAgToday.com. We caught up in Houston last week at Commodity Classic. Indiana Soybean Alliance board member Mark Legan joined us to discuss the top corn and soybean issues facing him on his farm. He had this one for Dan.
Nitrogen management in corn. Seems like the more I know, the less I know. Just seems like we spend an awful lot of money and cross our fingers that the weather's going to participate to help us like it did this last year. And if not, by the way, you know, we're not being good stewards of the environment if we can't utilize all that nitrogen.
Quinn says he'd be a much better nitrogen manager if only he had a weather crystal ball. But he says Indiana farmers are doing a good job managing it the best they can.
You talk about starters, right? We can put some level of nitrogen by the plant. And then, you know, a lot of folks have moved towards more in season where they're side dressing it or even later side dressing it so they can kind of time, right? It comes back to those 4 hours of nitrogen. Can we time it when that plant needs it? Instead of, you know, putting it all, some folks put it all out in the fall or very early spring, right, where that nitrogen's just going to be exposed for a longer period of time for potential losses.
While researching nitrogen is difficult because it's always moving and transforming, Quinn has been conducting research on nitrogen inhibitors.
I think a lot of the inhibitors that are out there, that technology has been around for years. They work, right? They do a good job of keeping it in the ammonium form, keeping it where it kind of needs to be. They're not a perfect, silver bullet to it, but in terms of some level of protection, you know, urease inhibitors do a great job of helping with volatility.
Hear more on this and much, much more in the Purdue Crop Chat podcast. You can find it now wherever you listen to podcasts. The EPA says it's putting a new focus on the ag industry with the creation of a brand new office. Sabrina Halverson has more.
When I joined EPA nearly 3 years ago, I committed to working very closely with farmers and ranchers to identify practical, science-based policies that will protect our environment while also ensuring a vibrant and productive agricultural system.
That's EPA Administrator Michael Regan speaking on Friday at Commodity Classic, held this year in Houston, Texas. There, he announced the new EPA Office of Agriculture and Rural Affairs.
This office will be led by Rod Snyder, who has served as my senior advisor for agriculture since 2021. We have someone competent coming into this job, and he's going to do an awesome job for not only EPA, but for all of you as well.
According to the office's website, its roles and responsibilities include increasing coordination with a network of existing agriculture policy advisors. It houses EPA's existing Farm, Ranch, and Rural Communities Federal Advisory Committee, which provides independent policy recommendations to the agency on environmental issues important to agriculture and rural communities. The new office will also work with the Office of Water to oversee the newly created Animal Agriculture and Water Quality Subcommittee. That subcommittee informs the agency's decisions on EPA's permitting program to reduce nutrients and water pollutants from animal feeding operations. Finally, it works with federal and state partners and the Rural Partners Network to collaborate with small, underserved towns and rural communities on federal investments in infrastructure upgrades and other community improvements.
With Rod's leadership and with the establishment of this new office, we will ensure agriculture and rural stakeholders have a continual seat at the table at EPA for many years to come.
Read more on our website, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer. We also have more in the free HAT mobile app. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farm Credit Mid-America believes that your crop insurance should be maximized to address what's important to you. With their data-optimized decision tool, you can build a policy custom fit to your operations goals. Using your past production data, their tool, which they have exclusive access to in their territory, maps out future events, helping you choose the perfect policy type, coverage level, and options for you, all guided by their crop insurance agents. To learn more, visit fcma.com/crop-insurance. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity provider.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
It's Memorial Day weekend, going to be 87 to 89, maybe low 90s all weekend. So we thought we'd bring Scott Heine in. So we'll talk about home heat.
To agriculture.
Anytime we can help a farmer grow their business and meet their goals, that's a proud moment for me.
And, well, other things.
For some reason, like and subscribe. We don't know why, but that's important.
We want you to do it on your own, but we're going to tell you.
Listen now on all platforms.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We're looking at some drier weather trying to emerge across the Hoosier State here today. We're still seeing some lingering showers in the south and southeastern parts of the state as this frontal boundary, this system from yesterday, it continues to have a long tail. Honestly, what it's got is a fairly strong center of low pressure that's to our south, and it's moving slow as it encounters the Appalachians. So some lingering showers this morning in south and southeastern areas, but the rest of the state will try and see clouds give way to sunshine. We're still warm, still mild overall, at least compared to normal, and we're going to stay that way through most of the rest of this week. We dry out everywhere for Thursday, see some good sunshine and a nice day overall, and then we have another weather system that wants to move in, give us a chance at moisture for the Friday afternoon, Saturday time frame. Right now, I'm looking at anywhere from 1/4 to 1.5 inches there. The heavier rain totals will come with thunderstorms, and I think a large part of those want to stay a little bit farther south. But that is going to be definitely be some moisture to start the weekend, and it does draw down some colder air. I'm particularly looking for that colder air to be in here on Sunday. After that, though, we get right back to the mild stuff. Monday of next week, we see temperatures bounce back up well above normal, and we stay warm all week long. We're dry Monday, dry most of Tuesday, overnight Tuesday night through Wednesday. There's a front that tries to pop up, maybe gives us a few hit-and-miss scattered showers. More in the north than in the south. We're back to dry weather for Thursday and Friday, watching a major weather system try and kick out into the northern plains next to Friday. But the main body doesn't come out till the weekend, and I think that we have to be on the lookout for a little bit of moisture here for the weekend of the 16th and 17th. However, the main track of this low could be a little bit farther to our north and west. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
In farming, experience counts. Every growing season teaches us something. Experience counts in farm broadcasting as well, and no other farm broadcasting team in the state has the experience of Hoosier Ag Today. Eric Pfeiffer, CJ Miller, Andy Eubank, and Sabrina Halverson, an experienced team that gives you credible coverage of today's agriculture. On air, online, and on your mobile device, turn to Hoosier Ag Today.
A sell-off. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Farm Market Review. And it was a sell-off across the board in corn, beans, and wheat. Those numbers coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. I grabbed it from Arlen Suderman of StoneX late in the Tuesday session. Arlen, a turnaround Tuesday. Pretty nice boost to the markets on Monday, although they finished off the highs. A turnaround Tuesday was likely, though. It happened, although the bean market was late to arrive to that turnaround party. But in the end, everything lower, led lower by Chicago wheat. Can we call it even maybe a risk-off day, as many other commodities in the equities were weak as well?
Yeah, that's pretty much what I call it, a risk-off day. The commodities were not in favor. Equities were not in favor. We saw some significant losses there. Nervousness going into a lot of jobs data over coming out over the next several days. And then we had China release its annual economic plan, which was really a disappointment to analysts in China and observers from around the world, feeling like China really didn't even address the major problems that it's facing with its property sector and anything that it had in its plan. Just seemed too little too late, and that was real disappointing. And of course, China is the largest importer of commodities. The one thing of note that they did include was a commitment increasing by 8.8% the spending that they would do to try to become self-sufficient in commodity production, wanting to increase the area and yields they get from soybeans, wanting to boost their crop insurance subsidies to encourage farmers to use crop insurance, and wanting to boost the genetics in all their crops in order to increase production so they can become self-sufficient, especially in soybeans and in rapeseed production.
So might that have a more lasting impact on the U.S. soy market?
Yeah, and if you look at even in 2023, or the current marketing year, I'm sorry, the September 1 to August 31 current marketing year, we do the bulk of our sales to China in the first quarter of that year. Our sales to China this last year are down about 300 million bushels from the same point a year ago, as they are leaning much more heavily on supplies from Brazil. So they're shifting away from the United States anyway. And then to hear them talk about how they want to become more self-sufficient is not a good tone to be set for future demand.
What's the primary rationale for the lower market in corn and wheat, with wheat, as I mentioned, the weak side leader? Was it just the risk-off atmosphere? Is something else going on as well?
The primary problem with wheat right now is its focus on Russian prices. The Black Sea, to a great extent, sets the world price. And Russia and Ukraine are both trying to outcompete each other to dump cheap wheat on the world market to pay for the war effort. In fact, Ukraine set a record for the month of February for exports of wheat, despite the war that's ongoing right now. And it was the largest month of any time of the year since October of 2021 for exporting wheat. Russia trying to beat them just continues to lower prices. And when Russia lowers prices, Europe lowers prices to compete. And when Europe lowers prices, that risks arbitrage opportunities for importing European wheat into the United States, and that pressures U.S. prices.
And corn futures down just a few cents. Was that primarily a pull from wheat?
That's primarily, yeah, just a pull. Overall weakness in the commodity sector, double-digit losses in wheat, all of it just weighing, nobody really wanting to step into that environment to be a buyer.
Arlen Suderman, StoneX and StoneX.com. On the Hat Tuesday market review, down in corn, May goes to 426 and a quarter, July dips to 437 and a half, and December is now at 459 and a quarter. All three contracts losing 3.75 on Tuesday. Over in beans, May 11.49, down 6 cents. July 6 and a quarter lower, 11.59. November 11.44 and a quarter, 2 cents off. And May wheat led lower, 5.51, down 13 cents. Meat markets mixed. April live cattle, 188 even, $1.32 gain. And April lean hogs, $1.10 loss, going to 85.17. I'm Andy Eubank with the Tuesday Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.